Almost 6 years ago, I had an opportunity to interview for a position in Steamboat Springs, Colorado. After 3.5 hours of behavioral and technical questions, the gentleman that was leading the interview and the HR manager that was with him said, "Alan, where do you see yourself in 5 years from now?" I said, "Well, sir, I see me in your position with your job." He looked up from his tablet and raised one eyebrow. I was offered the position, accepted it. The Lord blessed us to be settled here, though. And he later told me that that was the right question, the right answer for the question. They were seeking somebody that was willing to fill that position later on because they knew that he was not going to be there. When it comes to your spirituality, have you ever asked yourself, where do you see yourself in 5 years from now spiritually? Do you have goals, aims, aspirations when it comes to your spirituality? If you are a woman, have you thought about the possibility of becoming that Titus II woman? Helping those young moms and young women and ladies to understand their purpose in life, how to be managers of their home, teachers of their children, and to be leaders in their household. But there's also Titus 2 men. Men that recognize the importance of leading young men into righteousness, showing them how to live faithfully for the Lord, and exhorting them, and by your pattern of good works, proving to them the importance of spiritual growth. Maybe you're a new Christian man. We have lots of young Christian men in this congregation. And you see other men working in this congregation. And you say to yourself, okay, I want to maybe start leading a prayer. Or I'm gonna challenge myself to really prepare for a table talk. Or I'm going to challenge myself to become better at serving others around me. There's all kinds of spiritual goals that we can have. Maybe you're wanting to show more hospitality to those of your brethren. Or you're going to start teaching a class. Or maybe you aspire to be an elder or a deacon. There's all kinds of opportunities for growth, spiritual growth. And we have to evaluate where we're at and say to ourselves, where do you want to be in 5 years from now, spiritually? 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 18, Peter says this to us, "But grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ." It's a command that we grow, that we change spiritually, and that we become somebody different than what we are now and were 5 years ago or 10 years ago in the Lord. But he also says this, "To him be the glory." You see, our spiritual growth is not about me. It's not about Alan. But rather it's about how am I glorifying God as I grow in Christ Jesus. How am I blessing him whenever I step up to the next level in my spiritual walk with the Lord? Our text this morning is going to come from Colossians chapter 2. We're going to look at verses 4 through 10. And I want to give you some key things that can help us reach those goals. Help us reach the spiritual goals that we may try to set in our lives. Colossians chapter 2, verses 4 through 10 says this. "Now this I say, lest anyone should deceive you with persuasive words. For though I am absent in the flesh, yet I am with you in the spirit, rejoicing to see your good order and the steadfastness of your faith in Christ. As you therefore have received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him, rooted and built up in him, and established in the faith as you have been taught, abounding in it with thanksgiving. Beware lest anyone cheat you through philosophy and empty deceit, according to the tradition of men, according to the basic principles of the world, and not according to Christ. For in Him dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and you are complete in Him, who is the head of all principality and of all power. Here are some key things this morning that we can use to help us reach our spiritual goals. The first one's found in verses 4 through 5. This I say, lest anyone should deceive you with persuasive words. For though I'm absent in the flesh, I am with you in the spirit, rejoicing to see your good order and the steadfastness of your faith. Never let anyone deceive you. Never let anyone deceive us. There's all kinds of deceiving theologies and all kinds of deceiving men and women whenever it comes to spiritual things in this world. And they can, through their eloquent speech and capabilities, kind of make your mind just kind of whirl. And pretty soon your mind has got some things going on in it that just make you really question what in the world's going on in my spiritual life. Don't allow this world or the men of this world to do that to you. But rather, as Paul says in verse 3, prior to this comment, he says, he's talking about Christ the Father and Christ, he says, in whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. See, there's no other place to go and find the things that we need to understand about who we are in Christ Jesus than to go right to Christ Jesus. Don't allow the men of this world, the books that you might find in the library, though there can be some good things that come from them, persuade you or deceive you differently than what you have been taught by Christ Himself. Don't rely either on your own deceptive heart to trust in the Word, in the Lord. Because the heart is deceiving above all things, and your heart can deceive you in Christ Jesus too, making you think that maybe you are not worthy or not saved or not having the abilities and gifts that you need to be a good Christian. Your heart can deceive you above all things. Don't let it do that. Never let anyone deceive you or you will not reach those spiritual goals. Turn with me to Romans chapter 16. Romans 16 verses 17 through 19 would say this. Now I urge you, brethren, note those who cause divisions and offenses, contrary to the doctrine which you learn, and avoid them. Note them, okay? Don't let anybody deceive you. For those who are such do not serve the Lord Jesus Christ, but their own belly, and by smooth words and flattering speech deceive the hearts of the simple. For your obedience has become known to all. Therefore, I am glad on your behalf, but I want you to be wise in what is good and simple concerning evil. Have a firm grip on the truth that you may recognize those who are being deceptive, who are challenging you and trying to get you to look outside of the truth of the gospel of Jesus Christ and trap you. Be wise on what is good, but be simple about the things that are evil. Don't let anyone deceive you. 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 58 says this, therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your labor is not in vain for the Lord. Steadfastness and being immovable and abounding in the Lord's work will help you progress to reaching your spiritual goals. Don't let anyone deceive you, Paul told the brethren here in Colossians. Second point comes from verses 6 and 7. As you therefore have received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in Him, rooted and built up in Him, and established in the faith as you have been taught, abounding in it with thanksgiving. Galatians chapter 3 and 27 says, "For as many as you as were baptized into Christ have put on Christ." Have you truly acknowledged Jesus Christ as being your Lord? Are you rooted and grounded to that extent that you can say, "He is my Lord and Savior. He is the sole purpose of my life. The reason I get up in the morning with a smile on my face, even though the sun's coming up and the rooster crowed in your ear, you still have joy because Jesus saved me from my sins." Can you acknowledge Him as Lord? Can you be humble and submitting to Him through obedience? Can you be faithful to Him? Here's the point. We have to be rooted. We have to be grounded in our Lord and Savior in order to say, what am I going to look like in 5 years spiritually? If I don't have some sort of grounding in my faith, you're never going to move beyond where you're at. We're always going to be stagnant and just sitting there and never progressing to something better to glorify our Lord. To glorify our Lord. Don't forget that. Well, there's four things here that come from this text that really challenge us whenever it comes to being rooted and grounded. And those things are this. He says there, as you have received Christ Jesus your Lord, so walk in Him. The first thing that we need to do if we're going to be rooted and grounded up is to walk in Him. The King James uses this word quite a bit. It says, have your conversation. What's that word mean? It means what's your life look like, right? Have your conversation. And I think that's what Paul is trying to say here. Have your conversation be about Him. Your life be about Him, about Christ Jesus. How are you conducting yourself? Or how are you living for Christ Jesus? If you are living for Him in everything that you do and the things that you say and the way that you act and react, then you're going to root yourself and ground yourself in the love of Christ Jesus. Therefore, gird up the loins of your mind. Be sober and rest your hope fully upon the grace that is to be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. As obedient children, not conforming yourselves to the former lusts as in your ignorance, but as He who called you is holy, you also be holy in all your conduct, for He is holy. Be holy as I am holy, is what Peter tells us to be. God never wanted us to remain where we were at when we became a Christian. He wanted me to become something more. And in order for me to become something more in Christ Jesus, I have to root myself and ground myself in that Lord, in that Savior, and gird up my loins and walk as I am in Christ Jesus. So the second thing here is the rooted part. He says, rooted and built up in Him. Be firmly planted. Don't be shallow. You notice all the trees that fall over in those hurricanes, those palm trees and those other kind of weird looking trees that we don't see here. Why do they blow over so easily? There's no roots. They don't have that tap root that's as deep as what they are tall, like these trees out here in this yard. Rather, they have these nice little balls of roots that are just below the surface and sucking the water from the high water table in those areas. And then when those strong winds come, they bend over for a while and they fall over. There's no root. And if we are this way in our spiritual life, we're just going to get blown over by every wind of doctrine that comes to us, being deceived and taking away from the truth of God, which has been given to us. Rather, we need to be firmly planted and not shallow, but deep in Christ Jesus and His Word. Glory, hallelujah! I shall not be moved. Anchored in Jehovah, I shall not be moved. In His love abiding, I shall not be moved. And in Him confiding, I shall not be moved. Though all hell assails me, I shall not be moved. Jesus will not fail me, I shall not be moved. Though the tempest rages, and on the rock of ages, I shall not be moved. Are you rooted and grounded in your Savior to that extent? I shall not be moved. Or are you going to be affected by every twist and turn of man and doctrine that is in this world? So walk, be rooted, be built up. My children love to build with blocks, and they get to fighting, somebody kicks them down, and they build again, and they build it up to something different. Are you being built up? Are you continuing to grow and mature through study and allowing for it to edify you and edify us? Ephesians chapter, chapter 4 and verses 14 and 15 would say this when it comes to being built up. Ephesians 4, verses 14 and 15. We should no longer be children tossed to and fro, carried about by every wind of doctrine, by the trickery of men, in the cunning craftiness and deceitful plotting, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up in all things into Him who is ahead, Christ. Be built up, brethren. Continue to grow and mature so that you may reach those spiritual goals. And the last point that I find here from this section of verses 6 and 7 is that we have to be established. Established in the faith is what Paul tells them. Our faith must continue to grow stronger and stronger and stronger. If you're not growing, you're what? You're shrinking. Okay, it's not like that you stay on this plateau and that's just where I'm at. If you're not growing, brethren, you're shrinking. The little kids song that we sing, you know, they do the shrink, shrink, and the grow, grow. It's true. I've had it happen in my own spiritual life, and I think everybody in this room could probably say the same thing. I have come to a point where I get a little stagnant and I stop studying the Word. I stop focusing on my Lord and Savior, and all of a sudden I start going backwards. And maybe giving in to some of those sins of my old life. And maybe I start making new mistakes in my life until I recognize that I'm getting to the bottom of the barrel and something's going to have to happen here. And what do? I turn my eyes upon Jesus again. I take hold of the hem of His garment and we grow. We change and we establish our faith again so that we can grow stronger and stronger. It's not something that happens overnight, but rather a process of time, of maturity, and a process that does take many, many years to reach a level that we want to be at. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and verse 1 says, "Finally then, brethren, we urge and exhort in the Lord Jesus that you should abound more and more, just as you received from us how you ought to walk and to please God." Paul wants the brethren to grow, to change, and to be established in their faith. And above all things, he says here at the end, he says, "I want you to be thankful in all things." So secondly then, be rooted and be grounded in Him. Don't let anybody deceive you so that you may reach your spiritual goals. And then he says here in verse number 8, "Beware lest anyone cheat you or carry you away through philosophy and empty deceit, according to the tradition of men, according to the basic principles of the world, and not according to Christ." So we need to remain committed to the truth if we're going to reach our spiritual goals. Watch out that you are not carried away through the profitless speculation of man's teaching. There are so many smart people in this world. It's almost, what's the word I'm looking for? It's scary, the amount of knowledge that men have gained in this world. The things that they know, the way that they present themselves, and the teachings that they pass on, whether it's about science or medicine or engineering or heating and plumbing or French fryers. I mean, we have gained so much knowledge and we got to the point where we are so smart that we've forgotten about what is really truly smart. Who is really truly smart? Profitless speculation in men's teaching can cause us to fade away from our Lord and Savior. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 19 through 21, Paul really captures this thought in giving us the understanding of who truly is wise. He says, "It's written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise and bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent." Where's the wise? Where's the scribe? Where's the disputer of this age? Has not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? For since in the wisdom of God, the world through wisdom did not know God. See, there's the problem. We get to thinking we know so much, but we don't need God. When rather, we need to forget about the worldly wisdom and focus on the wisdom of God. It pleased God through preaching, through the foolishness of the message preached to save those who believe. And verse 26 says, "For you see your calling, brethren, that not many wise according to the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called. But who? Those who rather believe." Those who are simple, that have the capability of seeing God is wise, God is smart, not me. The Gnostics believe all that other stuff. But rather, we need to believe from the heart and remain committed to the truth that has been given to us. There's so many teachings, so many theories, and so many things that are in opposition to God's will. They're capturing the hearts of men who have not committed themselves to the truth. If we have not committed ourselves to that truth that has been given to us, we can be captured by those things and be led away. 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 25 and 26 says this. Verse 24 too. "And the servant of the Lord," that's us, "must not quarrel, but be gentle to all, able to teach, patient, in humility, correcting those who are in opposition, if God perhaps will grant them repentance, so that they may know the truth, and that they may come to their senses and escape the snare of the devil, having been taken captive by him to do his will." How I love the great Redeemer. You know that song, "Who has given so much to me"? If we are allowing ourselves to not be committed to the truth, we just as well sing, "How I love the great Deceiver who has taken it all from me." Because he has taken us captive and snared us and keeps us from growing to the point that we can glorify God. We maybe needed repentance in our lives, coming to our senses and escaping the snare of the truth, or the snare of truthlessness, and be committed to what is good and acceptable and that perfect will of God. Romans chapter 12 and verse 9. All right. Remain committed to the truth. Be rooted and grounded in Him. Have a firm grip on that truth through understanding that you can be deceived, and don't do so. And lastly here, found in verse, better go back to Colossians 2, verse number 10. "And you are complete in Him who is the head of the principality of power." You are complete in Him. Our Lord Christ requires us to submit to Him because He is the head. He is the one that's driving this bus and this bus of our life. And we have to submit to the bus driver, all right? You don't submit to the bus driver, there's usually some ramifications that come along with that. And it's no different whenever we're not submitting to Christ. Christ is the head and requires submission to Him because He is God. And because He is God, we can be assured that our spiritual needs will be supplied by Him. All these things, we get a little overwhelmed sometimes, thinking, "Ooh, what am I going to do? There's just so much for me to do." But really, truly, where do these things come from? How do we not get deceived? How do we remain faithful to the Lord and grow in our faith? How do we stay grounded and rooted in the truth? It's because Christ Jesus will bless us with those spiritual blessings. Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 3 comforts us with these words. "Blessed be God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ." If you have spiritual goals that you need to reach to glorify God in heaven, recognize that those spiritual blessings will come from Christ if we truly submit to Him and are serving Him. God has provided us ways to make sure that we will meet our spiritual goals. So let's work this backwards. If we have spiritual goals that we want to meet, and we've evaluated where I'm at spiritually, the first thing that we have to make sure is that we are complete in Christ Jesus. If we are complete in Christ Jesus. Now, if you go back to Colossians, right after he talks to them about this, he talks to them about the importance of being complete in Christ Jesus by this. This is how, he says, starting in verse 11. In him, or Christ, you were also circumcised with the circumcision made without hands by putting off the body of the sins of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ. Buried with him in baptism, in which you were raised with him through faith in the working of God who raised him from the dead. Paul's telling them, he says, brethren, he says, if you want to be complete in Christ Jesus, here's how you're going to do this. It's first you need to recognize the need for forgiveness and a change in your life. And the only way that's going to happen is if you are circumcised, just as the Jews were circumcised on the eighth day. He says, you need to be circumcised. Well, what's he talking about? In the heart. The change of the heart. And he says, the only way that that heart can be changed to this extent is that you die. And the only way that you can be raised again is if you are buried with Christ Jesus and meet the life-giving blood of our Savior. Then you can be complete in Christ Jesus. And we can be committed to the truth. We can become rooted and grounded in Him. And we can never let anyone deceive us so that we can reach those goals that we can set for ourselves spiritually. And above all things, we are to glorify God when we reach those goals. Brethren, I challenge us all to evaluate where we are in our Lord. And think about where you are going to be in 5 years from now. Because in 5 years from now, the demographic of this congregation could change immensely. Just like our neighbor. Any of us could pass away at any time. The next woman may need to step up and fill that void that is left by someone passing away. The next man may have to step up and become that leader that this group will need to continue to strive and serve the Lord here in this area. So evaluate where you are spiritually. Don't be deceived. Be rooted and grounded. Be built up. Be faithful, establishing your faith, and be complete in Christ. If you have a need this morning, make it known as we sing the song of encouragement.